Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're studying the Savior on the cross with the text of Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 46. At the close of our last program, I was reading through this chapter in the book of Luke, and I want to complete that reading. I'm going to begin now with Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 50. And this is after Jesus had died on the cross. It says, "And behold, a man named Joseph, who was a counselor, a good and righteous man. He had not consented to their counsel indeed, a man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down, and wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that was hewn in stone where never man had yet lain. And it was the day of the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, and the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after, and beheld the tomb, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and on the Sabbath they rested, according to the commandment." Okay, let's look at this Sunday school lesson on the Savior on the cross. Before we get into Elam's notes, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And the Sunday school lesson we're looking at about the Savior on the cross was written for the Sunday schools of March the 8th, 1925. Let's note some things geographical. This is the geographical notes section of this lesson. The place of the crucifixion was called in Hebrew Golgotha, meaning the place of the skull, Matthew 27:33 and John 19:17. Our word Calvary means skull, and the version which we use in preparing these lessons so puts it. Why was it called the skull? Well, we do not know. Some suppose it was called because it was a common place of execution or a place of throwing bones. Others that it was a knoll resembling a skull. We have no evidence that it was a mount. John 19 and verse 20 tells us it was outside the gate. And it says Jesus suffered without the gate in Hebrews 13:12-13. It contained a garden, John 19:41, and it seems it was on a public road, Matthew 27:39, Luke 23:26. Now here's some helps and hints for the teachers. Teachers and pupils should familiarize themselves with all the occurrences of the crucifixion of our Lord. Call attention to Peter's denial, Judas's course, John's faithfulness. A very few good men think the trial and crucifixion of Jesus occurred a day earlier, but the general agreement of almost all scholars is that they occurred on Friday, and we see no reason for rejecting their conclusion. Let's talk about his death on the cross. The cross was not a gilded and ornamental structure, but one of rude material, hastily and roughly put together. Death on the cross was the most cruel, most awful, most shameful, and most disgraceful punishment in death which barbarian brutality could invent. It was common among Persians, Carthaginians, Greeks, and Romans. It is said that the Romans probably copied this hideous form of punishment from the Phoenicians. Romans did not crucify their own citizens, but inflicted it upon slaves and the conquered. The Egyptians simply bound victims to the cross, leaving them to die of exhaustion and starvation. But Jesus was nailed to the cross. The victim was laid on his back on the cross, his arms and legs stretched out, and long nails were driven through his hands and feet. Then the cross was raised up and set in its place, or it was first erected, and then the victim was nailed to it. His body was not altogether supported by his arms, for a peg passed through the crosses between his legs, and which supported part of the body. That is, on some of the crucifixions it was that way. It has been said that a burning was preferable to the cross. Farrar graphically describes the suffering and torture. For indeed, a death by crucifixion seems to include all the pain and death that can have of the horrible and ghastly: dizziness, cramp, thirst, starvation, sleeplessness, traumatic fever, tetanus, publicity of shame, long continuance of torment, horror of anticipation, mortification of untended wounds, all intensified just up to the point at which they can be endured at all, but all stopping just short of the point which would give the sufferer the relief of unconsciousness. The unnatural position made every movement painful. The lacerated veins and crushed tendons throbbed with incessant anguish. The wounds inflamed by exposure gradually gangrened. The arteries, especially the head, became swollen and oppressed with surcharged blood, and each variety of misery went on, gradually increasing, until death relieved the sufferer. Over 1,500 years ago, the Emperor Constantine abolished the cross as a form of punishment. Several incidences occurred in the crucifixion of Jesus before our present lesson begins. We sometimes sing in a song, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone?" In Jesus' humiliation, his judgment, or Pilate's decision of not guilty, it was taken away, and the sentence of death was extorted from Pilate, and he was delivered to the Jews and soldiers to be executed. He bore his own cross, John 19:17, but he could not bear it long, being exhausted, no doubt, by the trials and the sleepless night and the pains of scourging. They compelled one passing by, Simon of Cyrene, a town in North Africa, coming from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to go with them, that they might bear the cross. Mark 15:21. Luke 23:26 says, to bear it after Jesus. He either bore one end while Jesus carried the other end, or bearing it all, he followed after Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the breasts that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. That's what they did at the destruction of Jerusalem. For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Luke 23:27-31. There were two malefactors between whom he was crucified and were led with him to be put to death. Luke 23:32. And now we proceed in our Sunday school lesson to the explanatory notes. Jesus was numbered with transgressors. We read in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, "And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. To heap shame and disgrace upon Jesus, he was crucified between two malefactors." That means they were robbers or thieves. This was a fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah 53 in verse 12, where it says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." Let's talk about the time of the crucifixion. Just before nailing Jesus to the cross, they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, Mark 15:23. Now Matthew 27:34 says, "They gave him wine to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted it, he would not drink." This was a stupefying drink offered in kindness to deaden pain, but Jesus preferred to die conscious of all pain and suffering. He voluntarily drank the cup. And then we read in Mark 15:25, "It was the third hour, and they crucified him." Now the third hour at their time of reckoning would be hour 9 o'clock a.m. John 19:14 says, "It was about the sixth hour when Pilate delivered Jesus to the Jews to be crucified, which according to the usual method of counting time was 12 o'clock. The intention was not to state the exact minute or hour when every act in this awful tragedy was performed, but that division of the day in which the acts occurred. The crucifixion, with its preliminaries, lasted from 9 o'clock a.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. And Jesus said from the cross, "Father, forgive them." Let me read Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots." Soon after Jesus was nailed to the cross, he looked down in sublime self-forgetfulness and divine compassion upon his ignorant executioners and prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This was Jesus' first utterance on the cross. Neither did the Jews know they had rejected the Messiah. And parting his garments among them, they cast lots. They made four parts to every soldier a part, and also the coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said to one another, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots," John 19:23 and 24. This was a fulfillment of Psalm 22 and verse 18. The victim crucified was stripped of his clothes. These were the prerequisites of the soldiers who executed him. Jesus wore five different pieces of clothing, one for every one of the four soldiers, and the seamless coat for which they cast lots rather than tear it into four pieces. It was also the duty of the soldiers to watch the victim, that none should snatch him from the cross and rescue him, Matthew 27 and verse 32. And we read that the priest and the people mocked him. In Luke chapter 23, verses 35 through 37, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if this be the Christ of God, his chosen. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou art the King of the Jews, save thyself." Those people who stood beholding as they passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, he destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days. Save thyself and come down from the cross."